Yes, welcome into the Friday edition of the Auburn Daily Show. I am your host, Harrison Tarr, joined today by Dylan Lark instead of Lindsey Crosby. Lindsey's down in Florida for a wedding and apparently hanging out with the Pittsburgh Pirate Parrot guy. So that's cool. King behavior. Definitely miss Lindsey today, but we're going to rock out without him today and let him enjoy his vacation. Dylan, thank you for stepping in and being willing to always hop behind the mic and talk some Auburn sports. Got a lot going on. Busy weekend on the plains this weekend. But first and foremost, we're going to talk a little bit of Auburn football. And I know you're a big NFL draft guy, which is why it fits so perfectly to have you come on the show today. I'm not a big go read my stuff in terms of like you have to read this one article guy. But I did want to talk a little bit about a mock draft article that I wrote yesterday, Dylan, specifically targeting Derek Hall and Tank Bigsby. Obviously, Auburn edge rusher Derek Hall and Tank being one of the premier running backs in the SEC over the course of the past 3 years. This mock draft was 3 rounds long, and I don't necessarily agree with it, but I think it's worth talking about. It was from Saints Wire and their analyst group. John Siegler of Saints Wire kind of headed it all up, but it was kind of a collaborative effort on their front. I'm curious to get your thoughts here, Dylan. Tank Bigsby going number 99 overall to the Detroit Lions feels plausible. Having Derek Hall slide to number 46 to the Los Angeles Rams, and then this is a hypothetical in which there's a trade involved via Green Bay. I don't know that Derek Hall falls to 46.
I think it comes from the fact that there's so many edge rushers in this class, and people kind of get confused the edge rusher position, the outside linebacker position, the defensive end position. So I don't know if anyone really knows what they want in the draft because there's three different positions. And, I mean, edge rusher should be its own thing. I don't know why it's not. But I think this just comes from Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech had a really good I don't think he performed in the combine, but he's a very good prospect, very raw talent, and he can get the passer. I think he's going to be probably the second edge rusher off the board at this point. From what I've been seeing, and of course, Will Anderson is, you know, Will Anderson. I think this just comes from, you know, it happens. Some players just kind of fall for no reason. I think that's going to be where Derek Hall falls in the mix. And I'm looking through a couple of teams that might need him, and I'd be kind of shocked if he fell to, you say, round two?
This would be second round, 46
yeah. over. 46 over. I think that's the perfect spot for him. I looked at it as I don't think if he's not a late first guy, he's going to be an early second. And I think this kind of qualifies early second. People fall in the draft. It doesn't really hurt them as a player. It just kind of sometimes it helps them because you get to avoid some of the bad teams. So you get to.
Sure. You know. And in this scenario, I noted this in the article. I mean, Aaron Donald's not going anywhere. let's. Yeah, okay, sure.
He's questioned retirement the past two off seasons, so. Yeah.
I don't think that Aaron Donald, we're expecting a decline, and B, I don't think we're expecting a departure after the 2023 season. Oh, maybe after the 2023 season, but ahead of the 2023 season, I think he will be playing for the Los Angeles Rams and yes. Sean McVay. No one's saying that Derek Hall is going to come in and take Aaron Donald's reps and spot. That's just gibberish.
It'd be a good quote if you did, though.
Yeah, sure. I'm not going to say that. If you want to, go ahead and quote yourself and get brace for impact. That Rams Twitter community is relentless. But I think it's worth noting the fact that this is an awesome learning opportunity. There is no one better to learn from than Aaron Donald. I mean, that is one of those. And Derek Hall brings with him this tremendous and remarkable skill set that he already has. He's going to, and we also know he's going to interview very well with teams. I think teams are going to really like him from a PR standpoint, and obviously from an on-field, perspective, teams are going to like him a lot. I think that I don't think it's likely he winds up in Los Angeles. I think this might just be a little bit of mock draft fodder, a lot of mock draft fodder, which is fine. I mean, that's what March is for, other than March Madness, right? Is
yeah,
not as many mock drafts as you can. I don't necessarily love the concept of him falling to 46. Actually, I think he's going to probably go a little higher than that. I think he's an earlier second round guy. I mean, that would have him at the 15th pick in the second round. I'm not entirely sure that that's something that's really in the cards for Derek Hall. I think that we've seen him as high as the last pick in the first round of Kansas City Chiefs. I wrote about that earlier in the week. We've also seen him, this is probably the lowest we've seen him to this point. The fit, though, I don't hate it.
Oh, no. I've been looking around. I went through the depth chart. I went through the stats just because that's what I do. So I'm looking at the Rams depth chart going into, I think, finishing out last season, going into this season. A'shaun Robinson is on this team as a defensive end. He's currently going to probably miss spring practice because he's, torn meniscus that gets to everybody. That's a long road back to the field. Sure. But look at what they had last season. Marquise Copeland, second-year player out of Cincinnati, had 31 tackles in 2022 and one sack from the DN position. That's just not going to be what you want out of your defensive end, especially someone you're trying to pair up with the greatest defensive tackle in the history of the NFL. And Marquise Copeland had one sack. Looked next to him, nose tackle, which isn't one Derek Hall is going to probably play, had two sacks. Aaron Donald, of course, had five. And other players on the roster, Michael Hoecht, who is a linebacker, but he's mostly a defensive tackle, but he's listed as a linebacker on the Rams position at 310 pounds. So I guess he's more of like the edge rusher type. 4.5 sacks out of him. And then the only player that I saw outside linebacker, Leonard Floyd, who led the team in sacks last year, who is probably likely on the move. So I love the fit because I'm like, well, if this defense gets back to how they were playing when they won that Super Bowl, you get Matthew Stafford healthy, you get some weapons on this offense, you get a running back for Lord's sake. The Rams are kind of back in it. And I think Derek Hall kind of puts you back in the category. I mean, I've seen a lot of comparisons of Carl Lawson with him. I mean, you can look at him and see a lot of Robert Quinnisms, which is the perfect pair for an Aaron Donald, is someone like Robert Quinn who can get to the passer.
Sure.
But I'm looking at, if Leonard Floyd's gone, who better to take over that role than an outside linebacker out of Auburn who's about as fast as Leonard Floyd is and probably a little stronger.
100%. And I really don't dislike this fit. I actually like this fit a lot. Let's keep talking for a second here about this specific mock draft where Siegler said that there's a chance that Tank Bigsby goes and what would be that third round, the 99th overall pick to the Detroit Lions. This one's a little more curious to me. I'm interested to get your thoughts here in a second. Let's go ahead and lay out the obvious. Jamal Williams not going anywhere. I'm not saying, listen, running backs have such a short-lived career in the NFL because they take probably the biggest beating out of anyone on the field, and they're so injury prone. And Tank Bigsby, even through college, really no exception. But I don't know that's necessarily the piece that Detroit's looking for, specifically in a top three round pick. I would think you could probably do just as well in the free agent market looking for a second back. Now, that being said, if you can get Tank Bigsby at that spot, you should. But just because I don't. First off, I think Tank could see himself slide anywhere between 3-6 in those rounds, just because you never know. And running backs seem to be a dime dozen, but more and more in non-valuable as time goes on. But this is, I mean, I don't hate the concept of a two-headed monster of Jamal Williams and Tank Bigsby. I'm not sure what Bigsby's thoughts on Yu-Gi-Oh are, but or Pokemon, whatever it is that Jamal Williams is interested in. I love the guy, very charismatic. That'd be, if nothing else, that'd be fun in a press room. So, Dylan, I'm interested to hear what you think here. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I looked at the Lions depth chart going before we start recording, and I mean, yeah, Jamal Williams is on there. He's going to be there for a long time. I mean, he has a dadgum Naruto headband for the Detroit Lions. You'll never find a fan base that loves a running back as much as the Detroit Lions love Jamal Williams right now. He's just so charismatic. He's hilarious. I mean, he also loves anime. No one else is upfront about their anime love as Jamal Williams is on the Detroit Lions.
Good to see the nerds winning.
Yeah, but look after Jamal Williams. DeAndre Swift is still on his rookie contract. That makes his running back room go too deep already. Taking a running back in the third round is kind of weird here. And, of course, if you look at DeAndre Swift, he missed a couple of games, but he still had 542 yards and five touchdowns, did not have a single fumble in those games that he played. And I don't see a world where the Lions think a running back is the most important position to go at in the third round. I think that they still have a lot of work to do with that defense. That defense is what kept them out of the playoffs last year, and they are no need of a running back right now. I think that, I mean, if he's available, Colby Wooten sounds like he's going to be still available by this time based on this mock draft. So I'm not a big fan of the Lions going running back. I wrote down Fitz for every team. And I think that Bigsby kind of falls in the category of potential Buffalo Bills running back, is what it's sounding like. Because they have lacked that rushing threat for, I don't know, 3-4 years now. And they really need a running back. Detroit does not. And another team I look at is their division rival, the Chicago Bears. They kind of need a running back right now, too. David Montgomery is okay, but he's not a power runner. And that running back room really doesn't go deep in Chi-Town.
No. And I'd like to clarify my statement when I mentioned to be a two-way monster, Bigsby and Jamal Williams. In my mind, I feel like DeAndre Swift's banged up a lot.
Which
seems to be the common denominator with Lions running backs.
And I will say, a lot of Lions fans have kind of given DeAndre Swift a little bit of haze because he had a couple of drop passes a couple of years ago, and maybe, I don't know if he had any last year that were really that big, but one of them cost him a game. Sure. I don't know how they'd like to draft Tank Bigsby after a lot of draft analysts have kind of downplayed his pass catching ability. I look at it as I think he proved himself a lot in the combine and being able to catch the football, but a lot of analysts are still very low on Tank's ability to be a pass catching back. And in today's league, that's what you're going to need. And DeAndre Swift has gotten better.
Dump off target. It's tremendously valuable at any level of football, specifically at the NFL level. Before we talk a little bit, we're gonna keep moving on. We're gonna not talk football for the rest of the show. Actually, we're gonna talk about the busy weekend coming up on the Plains. But before I do that, Dylan, I think now's a great time for us to tell everybody about our friends over at Prize Picks. This season, Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring some fun and variety to the picks in 2023. Prize Picks is a free app that allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers, predict the over or under for the next game, and win big prizes if they do well. They have flex options when you still get paid after only winning 3 of 5 or 2 of 3. And you can have multiple sports in the same parlay, which is my favorite part of all that, Dylan. Best of all, you can use promo code Auburn, that's AUBURN, to receive double on your first deposit up to $100. That's promo code Auburn, AUBURN, for double your first deposit this college basketball season, NFL season, MLB season. We've got a lot coming up. Spring sports are underway, and that means your calendar is going to stay booked. Win some money with Prize Picks and the Auburn Daily. Use promo code Auburn. That's AUBURN. All right. Speaking of Auburn, Dylan, busy, busy, busy weekend in Auburn, Alabama. Not necessarily all teams at home, but super busy weekend for spring sports in its entirety. Let's start with softball. Softball coming off a loss, a walk-off loss to Georgia Tech on, what's that, Wednesday already? Oh my gosh, it's already Friday. Wow. Hello. Wednesday afternoon, Auburn gets walked off after Maddie Pinta just shoves and gives up her first earned run of the year. Gives up a long ball. It was a no-doubter. And Auburn gets walked off on a no-doubter. And loses that game 2-1, or I guess technically 3-1. But I'm curious to get your thoughts on the outlook. I still think this team's going to make a ton of noise. They're 20-3 entering conference play against Georgia in Athens this weekend. I have not decided if I'm going to be a witness yet or not, yet to hear back from the Ellis family about whether or not that's happening. But a lot of cool stuff going on that front. The pitching rotation's good. Dylan, where should Auburn, a realistic prediction for this weekend, Auburn fans should look for? I don't think it's 3 wins, but I do think 2 is plausible. I want to hear your thoughts.
I think 2-1 is probably my pick for this weekend, just because I want to see Auburn kind of step up where they've kind of been playing, I don't want to say badly, but playing slowly at. Offense, you got one run against Georgia Tech. It's kind of bad to say it, but a lesser opponent. I think I'm justified in saying that.
Sure.
You got Jesse Blaine get a nice little golf swing out of Atlanta, but
she brought her 9-iron out for that one.
Yeah, she did. You gotta get Aspen Godwin. You gotta get Bree Ellis. You gotta get all those girls. Nelia Peralta, who has been a G this season. They got to hit the ball. They got to hit it. And that's going to be the only – Georgia is not Georgia Tech. And you're going to hate that comparison being a ATL boy. Georgia's better than Georgia Tech. And you can't have a bad offensive showing in any of these games. I mean, the Sunday show, if you clinch it, yeah, sure. Throw out some weird lineups. Throw out something, see if it works. But first 2 days, y'all better be hitting that daggum softball if y'all want to win. one out of these three games, let alone two.
I think the, like you said, I think 2-1 is probably the magic remedy. I mean, obviously you want to win every single game you play, but it's extremely important when you get into the SEC season. I mean, Auburn picked finished eighth in the SEC by the SEC media. And if you want to really silence those doubters, I mean, the only way to get people to shut up is to win, right? I mean, it's that simple. But you have to take it series by series. The scouting reports have to be good. You've got to get some run support to this these girls in the circle. Maddie Pinto, Shelby Lowe, and Annabelle Wydra. Hello, keep trying to do that. I'm sorry. But that trio has been mowing people down and not giving up runs at a remarkable pace. And if they can't get run support on a routine basis, it's all for nothing. It's like the year that Jacob DeGrom won the Cy Young with an ERA well under two. I think it was under one or under two. And the Mets, like, he had like a 12-10 record because the Mets couldn't score runs. You know what I mean? It's frustrating. And ultimately, you wind up paying the price, and your pitchers get lit up a little bit for it because they're frustrated. So you've got to make sure that Wednesday's a fluke. I 100% think it can be, but you've got to kind of prove that to yourself this weekend when you head to Athens for that three-game set against the Georgia Bulldogs, who, like you said, no walk in the park. Other side of the diamond, Auburn baseball. They're going to be playing host to Southeastern Louisiana this weekend, correct?
Yes, they are.
Southeastern. I want to make sure it wasn't South. It's just Southern. I think it's Southeastern Louisiana. Southeastern Louisiana, and also a three-game set. This team should sound familiar to a lot of you Auburn fans. I know that Lindsey Crosby's been talking about it earlier in the week and been tweeting about it. I'm sure he will still be watching despite the fact he's on vacation. This group was in Auburn for the regional just under a year ago. And this is not a walk-in-the-park baseball club. Don't know who's going to throw on Sunday. Jogo's still not in the rotation. I'm curious to see if it's kind of a bullpen game on Sunday. The big thing for me here is continued consistency 1-9 on the offensive end of the offensive side of the plate in terms of offensive production. Don't make Bryson Ware do it himself. Don't leave it up just to him and Ike Irish to kind of put the team on their back. I kind of liked the look where Nate LaRue didn't hit in the midweek. I know that he's got some stuff to work through, and you maybe just have the yips, but I also would not hate him getting a solid number of ABs. I think he will. In terms of working through a lot of things that he just needs to get through. It's a head case. Dylan, what are you looking for the most in terms of improvement for Auburn baseball come this weekend?
So past two midway games versus in-state opponents and UAB and Jacksonville State. The gripe I had with both these games, but these wins, was the fact that Auburn's offense kind of needed a kickstart later on in the game. Auburn didn't score a run until the fourth inning versus UAB and did not score a run until the seventh inning versus Jacksonville State. And we talk about this team was in Auburn for a regional last year. So you really need to get that offense going pretty quickly. I think Ike Irish is, you know, him. I just need everyone else to be on the same hit and spree that he is. Just get a couple runs early and then try to score throughout the entire game. Yes. But get a couple hits in early.
Take
the pressure off the pitcher. Yes.
That's so big, especially because we're not sure who's going to throw Sunday. I think that it'll be interesting to see who throws Sunday and what the selection is for next weekend, next midweek rather. Because I think that Tommy Vail may have been able to work himself into that Sunday role come opening weekend for SEC play. And that series is in Fayetteville next weekend. But very interesting to see the rotation use, the bullpen use. We didn't see Ryan Olsen throw this week. I don't know if he'll throw this week at all. I know that we kind of have a little self-admitted bias on that front, but you keep waiting to hear if these young arms, Ryan Olsen just kind of being the legacy name of the group, sure, for sure. But keep waiting to see how they get worked in, how John Armstrong kind of settles in. I think that we know his role now. I think he's that late reliever, that 7-8, can throw the ninth kind of guy. Just to see, the biggest thing that I want to see from Auburn is one of these three games, let's see a complete game effort from the mound. And offense is huge. But on the defensive side of things, the defense is fine, position playing wise. a complete game effort where nobody has to come in and do a mop-up job. We saw Chase Alsop had to do that a little bit in the midweek this week, where he had to come in and got himself in a little trouble and then had to work himself out of trouble. That's something you just would like to see, kind of a clean slate against a non-SEC opponent. Still good for your RPI. A lot of good and exciting things going on for Butch Thompson and company. Last event we've got going on this weekend, but actually happens, I think, first out of all of these. Probably not. Georgia and I'm sure Auburn and Georgia will do battle on the softball diamond a little earlier than this. But gymnastics, final home meet, final regular season meet of the year. They'll be playing host to the Penn State Nittany Lions. Daniel Locke talked a little bit about this on the Auburn Daily Show on the College Loop on Thursday about Penn State being kind of a lackluster team in the Big Ten this year. Big Ten gymnastics, not bad, but not SEC level gymnastics. We know for a fact Sunisha Lee will not be competing tonight. So that's unfortunate news for fans that bought tickets. But the fortunate news is there's no reason to rule her out for the SEC championship next week. Dylan, with Sunisha Lee out, how does Auburn close it out in terms of making sure that they get a W to send their seniors out on senior night?
You got to straighten up vault. That's been Auburn's weakest moment or weakest thing.
Weakest link.
There we go. Weakest link. Brain no worky early in the morning.
How many of those words were?
/ afternoon. Get it straight on vault. Rely on your big guns, which is, you know, the rest of the roster. You have Darion Goborn. You have Cassie Stevens. You have Sophia Groth, who's been performing out of her mind. And you just kind of rely on those girls to get it done. And if Auburn finds a way to win this without Suni Lee, which I think they will, I think that gives you a lot of momentum going to SEC championships next week. And I just kind of – you got to look at – it's going to be your last opportunity to see a lot of these girls perform. Cassie Stevens and Darion Goborn come to mind right off the bat. You just got to – get it straight, fix what you've been weakest at, use it as that, and
beat off the crowd momentum one last time at Neville Arena.
Yeah,
should be a fun one. Wish I could be there. Sincerely, really do. Wish I could make it down to the Plains this weekend. Would love to see Darion one more time compete in person for Auburn, and we'll see if that comes to fruition for me next weekend. Tentatively, should be there next Saturday for SEC championships. Have to see how all things shake out, given some outside factors. Dylan, before we get out of here, let everybody know where they can find you, read you, love you, listen to you.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at YaBoyTheTank. If you're watching, it's right there below me. If you're listening, it's at YaBoyTheTank. Also, catch me on the Monday and Wednesday show. Monday with Lance Daw, Wednesday with Harrison Tarr, per usual. No, I'm not the Lindsey Crosby altering figure that's usually here. I'm not as pristine as Lindsey is. But also find me in the College Loop every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, where we kind of talk about the same thing, just on 3 days instead of five. And we got a lot of great stuff coming on that show very soon.
Very exciting stuff for the College Loop. I'm Harrison Tarr. If you want to find my Twitter handle, that's at @byHarrisonTarr, like you're reading my byline. If you want to read my byline, that is at The Auburn Daily. I've got a couple articles out about mock draft analysis, a couple of my thoughts as to where your big names like Tank Bigsby, Derek Hall, that we talked about earlier this on the show, Colby Wooden, guys like that, where they may land up in their professional careers. You can also listen to me on the College Loop. That's every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. Those shows come out at 8:30 Central Time. Sorry, 11 Eastern. Sometimes I have to think about that. We also released a YouTube exclusive yesterday, post-game analysis, that you guys, our listeners, seem to enjoy a lot, so we really appreciate the support on that front. Have an exclusive interview with Anders Carlson and one Nick Broms, former Auburn center and a known legendary coach. Rumor has it he was second in the running behind Cadillac Williams for the interim job. That's coming out on Sunday over at the College Loop. Otherwise, you can listen to me on the Auburn Daily Show every Wednesday and Wednesday and Friday. Hello. I'm doing a great job for this outro. Usually with Lindsey Crosby on Fridays, always with Dylan Lark on Wednesdays. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. We will be back here on Monday. Enjoy your weekend. Make sure you hit up as many games as you can if the weather's nice and soak it all in. Until then, thank you so much for listening to the Auburn Daily Show.